Welcome to Lucid Cafe. I'm your host, Wendy Halley. Happy to present my interview with author and shamanic teacher, Sandra Ingerman. I've actually never had the opportunity to study with Sandra, but was thrilled that she was willing to come on Lucid Cafe and talk about her two new books, The Book of Ceremony and The Hidden Worlds. A little bit about Sandra. Well, she is an award-winning author of 12 books, including Soul Retrieval, Mending the Fragmented Self, Medicine for the Earth, Walking in Light, and the Book of Ceremony, Shamanic Wisdom for Invoking the Sacred into Everyday Life. She's the presenter of 8 audio programs produced by Sounds True, and she is the creator of the Transmutation app. Sandra is a world-renowned teacher of shamanism and has been teaching for more than 30 years. She's taught workshops internationally on shamanic journeying, healing, and reversing environmental pollution using spiritual methods. Sandra is recognized for bridging ancient cross-cultural healing methods into our modern culture, addressing the needs of our times. She is passionate about helping people to reconnect with nature. Since the 1980s, thousands of people have healed from past and present traumas through the classic cross-cultural shamanic healing method Sandra teaches called Soul Retrieval. She's a licensed marriage and family therapist and professional mental health counselor. She's also a board-certified expert on traumatic stress. She was awarded the 2007 Peace Award from the Global Foundation for Integrative Medicine. Sandra was chosen as one of the top 10 spiritual leaders of 2013 by Spirituality and Health magazine. And today, we discuss Sandra's two new books. The Hidden Worlds was co-written with Catherine Wood and is a novel written for young people to help them navigate the changing world. And The Book of Ceremony, Shamanic Wisdom for Invoking the Sacred into Everyday Life, was written for a shamanic and general audience on how to bring the sacred into daily life by performing shamanic ceremonies designed for our times and the challenges we are facing. I hope you enjoy my conversation with Sandra Ingerman. Thanks for coming on the podcast, Sandra.
Yeah, it's my delight to meet you.
Well, I've been a fan of your work for a long time. I think, of course, you wrote one of the textbooks, Soul Retrieval.
Yeah.
And I think every practitioner probably has that book on their shelf.
Yeah, I've had a wild career, and of course, Soul Retrieval has been a big part of it.
Yeah, well, it's certainly, as a clinician, has certainly broadened my perspective on trauma. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So you just wrote, actually you wrote two books.
Yeah.
This, you released last year in 2018, The Book of Ceremony.
Right.
And then I'd love to talk a little bit about the, looks like a YA book, right?
Yeah, that would be cool if you're willing.
Yeah, we can chat about that after we talk about your first book.
Great.
So I was really, really psyched to see The Book of Ceremony come out. And I think it's really accessible. It's down to earth. It's super user friendly. And I'm guessing that was kind of your intention, huh?
Yeah. And it was also Sounds True intention. We went through, and I've worked with Sounds True a lot, and they're family to me. Really family. And we had a lot of fights around the book because I felt that they were asking me to downplay a little bit of shamanism. So some of the issues that we went through was around making the book accessible to people, but also it was a dance between us because Sounds True is such an amazing publishing company and so ethical. And, you know, one of the great leaders out there in publishing and teaching. And so we did this dance together because they loved the practice of shamanism too, of how do we create a book that's accessible but doesn't compromise on the really deep issues about doing ceremony, and that ceremony dates back 100,000 years. And so not making it a superficial practice. And so it was an interesting, it was very interesting for me to write a book where I was talking to so many populations simultaneously as I was writing. And after the first shock of when Sounds True was saying they wanted something more accessible, then I really got into it because I teach ceremony to Christian groups. I lead ceremonies in groups that have all kinds of backgrounds and don't want to step into a shamanic path, but want to do deep spiritual work to transform one's own health and be a leader, you know, in their communities, or, you know, help their communities in some way. And so it was beautiful. It was a beautiful experience for me to find the words that could bring all of this together.
So it sounds like it was a really good exercise to go through that challenging process.
Yeah.
Well, the end result is great. I'm hoping you're happy with it too.
Yeah, I love it.
So why do you think ceremony is so important?
Well, ceremony is so important, I think, because ceremony is actually how in shamanic cultures, shamans built the building blocks that created form, healthy forms, because shamans only work with energy. And I call shamans gardeners of energy. You know, they work with energy, they tend, they plant, they cultivate energy. And so we keep trying to make changes on the planet from our rational mind. And oftentimes by taking actions that don't really have the fuel, the power to really create change. But in shamanic traditions, it's understood that everything is energy. And if you go in and work with the energy behind the form of what we're seeing on the planet, whether it's your health, relationships, politics, the environment, if you look at everything as energy, then we can work energetically to transform. And so in ceremonial work, it's so beautiful because in ceremonial work, we step out of our humanness. We step out of our thinking mind. We step out of our ego and personality that thinks we know what needs to happen here. And we step into our spiritual self, our divine self. And in that connection, we create a true line of communication with source, the helping spirits, the creative power of the universe. And it's by stepping out of our humanness and getting into our divine that we can cultivate the energies of transformation to create good health for ourselves, good health for life, good health for the planet, good health for our communities. And so shamans have always worked with performing ceremonies because that's a way for us to put out our prayers and start to create the building blocks of what we would like to create.
Yeah, it seems like there's a lot of buzz around the concept of intentions these days, like setting intentions. And it sounds like that's kind of what you're describing in ceremony, is that you're taking an intention and you're creating a ceremony from it.
Right. Yeah. And intention gets a little bit tricky because intentions that are spirit led are the intentions that shamans work with in ceremonies. And what I mean by that is not our own ego saying, I want, I want, I want, you know, ceremonies were performed to help the community survive. You know, they had a big intention. This was about survival. This was about harmony with nature and the community and ceremonies to set up these harmonious connections. And in today's world, we oftentimes get a little bit caught up in what our ego wants without understanding that there's a bigger picture and we're not seeing it. And so we can get into trouble doing ceremonies. I did in the beginning, where I kept on doing ceremonies. I want. And all of a sudden the doors opened and everything came in. And it was like, but I don't want that. And they said, well, this is what you asked for. And so the tricky part of working with intention, and I talk a lot about this in the book of ceremony, is how we can go to a deeper place inside of ourselves where we're speaking to our soul, where we're speaking to our spirit, not just the small ego or the small will that doesn't understand that there's a bigger picture going on. And when we start to use those deeper intentions, then we end up creating ceremonies and manifesting outcomes that more are in harmony with our own evolution, our own process, and that helps us to really stand up and to be able to ride the waves that life is bringing us right now.
All right, so it's not about using ceremony like a genie in the bottle.
No, and that's one of the problems with shamanism today. I think it's on some levels it's wonderful how many people are getting interested in shamanism. On another level, a lot of people are getting interested in shamanism because there's a belief that if they go see a shamanic practitioner or perform a shamanic ceremony, it's like a magic wand. And it's talked a lot by hundreds of practitioners and teachers around the world. Is in the modern day world right now, we're looking for quick cures. You know, we're looking for, well, you go to the doctor and you get a medicine and you take the medicine and that's all you have to do. And so there's a misunderstanding, because in shamanism, it's really understood that yes, ceremony or a shamanic practitioner can bring a cure to what you're dealing with in life, whether it's in health, your finances, or your vision, your passion about what you want. But the healing work, the inner work, has to be done by you. Nobody can do this for you. And in shamanic cultures, that was understood. It was understood that when a shaman performed a ceremony for you or for the community, that everybody had their personal work to do, their inner work to do. And that's the education that really needs to happen in our culture today, is that healing actually lies in our own hands.
Yep, that's my motto. You know how to heal yourself if you get out of your own way, I guess. Yes. So what do you think culturally is going on for us that we are not seeing that or not going there?
Well, it's really interesting, because in shamanic cultures, when you were born, first of all, the community welcomed you. You were really welcomed into life. And as soon as it was possible, the community, your parents, started to fuel your passion about the gifts that you were bringing into the community, the strengths, because the community was understood in shamanism, oneness and unity is understood, and the community was seen as an organism, you know, one organism. And so every community member was part of this organism. And if one community member was out of harmony, it affected the entire community. So when you grew up in a shamanic culture, first you learned how to be a responsible member of your community, how to take care of yourself, how to work with your words so that you were blessing instead of cursing yourselves and others. The same with your thoughts and your daydreams. You know, again, words, thoughts, daydreams are all energy. What are we manifesting with the energy we're creating, we're putting out into the world? And so this was the first part of life in shamanic communities. And then after puberty, deeper shamanic practices were offered. In our culture, we didn't get that. We didn't get that upbringing. What we got was stay in the status quo. This is what you need to do to get by. Don't shine your light too much. Don't bring too much attention to yourself. Don't think you can dream too big. Don't think you're one of the creative geniuses in the world. Get a job and try to get by. And so we have a culture that never developed an inner landscape. In shamanic communities, learning how to work with your thoughts and your words and your daydreams, you start building an inner landscape. And shamanic cultures, even in their suffering, you see a light, a joy shining out of people's eyes because they have such a rich inner landscape. In our culture, we were taught there are authorities out there. There are people more creative than us. We have bosses. Everything is around how to follow the rules and be part of society so that you don't stand out. And so people don't have that inner landscape. Everything is only in the outer world. When you start to say self-healing is your responsibility, what does that mean when you never even created a territory within for that to happen? So we reach to others. Anything anybody will give us, a healer, a shaman, a doctor, whatever, we'll take anything because we think it all comes from the outside instead of it all grows from within.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say, is we're very externally focused in our culture.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of, I guess, encouragement to look inward, but it does seem to be changing now with the the popularity of mindfulness and yoga practices and shamanism. And it also kind of reminds me of, in our culture, the basis of the cultural worldview we live in is colonialism. And so that's a very externally focused, as opposed to like indigenous mind, where we're in relationship with, we're, like you're saying, we're not raised to be in relationship with our community, the natural world, with ourselves. We're all about survival, you know?
Yeah, I've never thought about colonialism. And what you're saying, Wendy, is really true and profound, is that the practice of shamanism is all about relationship. It's all about relationship with nature, a reciprocal relationship. Shamans talk to nature. People in shamanic communities talk to nature like we're talking to each other, back and forth conversations. And that was normal. We might go out today and we talk to the rivers and we talk to the trees and we tell them how much we love them, but we don't even realize that they're talking back to us and that they have a song, just like we have a song. And the music that we hear from them, it can be really uplifting. And so it's a rich time for all of us, of as people are right now searching out, you know, practices to do more inner work, to really look at our guidance on how we're being led into a deeper relationship with life.
So what do you say to folks who are, when they start exploring shamanism, say, or turning their focus inward, when they start bumping up against their personal challenges, you know, their fears and their insecurities, it could be a time for people to sort of bail on the process, to say, oh, that's a little too hard, forget that. Do you have any advice or suggestions for people to to when they bump up against challenging aspects of their inner landscape?
Yeah, well, first of all, you know, one of the things I started thinking about the other day is there are a lot of people who bail on spiritual work because it becomes too hard. But actually, life is harder than spiritual work. So
that's the truth, yeah.
It's like, let's do the spiritual work and let's deal with the bumps. And so with the bumps, I talk about the bumps as initiations. Everything in shamanism is about honoring phases, changes of life, changes in seasons, changes in the cycles of nature, because we're part of an organic cycle where we don't live a linear life from a shamanic point of view. And so what happens in nature is there's always a time for some death to happen, you know, fall, the leaves go back to the earth and are composted so new growth can come to the spring. And we understand that. Rationally, we understand that nature has a continual life and death process. But in our own lives, when that death process starts to come to us, we freak out, we get scared, we don't know what it means. And in shamanism, the bumps are about trying to sculpt away some of your ego and personality issues that make you feel small and insecure, to try and lead you to a place where you understand the strength of your inner spirit, and that it's your inner spirit that carries you through a challenge. So I always use the same example. If you do fire walking and you stop in the middle of the fire and you go, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Not good.
You're going to get burned. And so the key in initiation is you go through the death process, no matter how uncomfortable it is. There's something bigger, something beautiful. There's new birth that's going to come from it. And so my advice to people is to understand that the bumps are just a phase that's trying to polish you into being your more authentic self. And so the bumps make you look deeper within and have you release what no longer works for you anymore, so that that part of you dies and your more authentic spiritual part can be reborn. And it's all about phases of nature, and we are nature. And so we're going to continuously go through these death and rebirth phases throughout our life. It's part of life.
Right. And there are ceremonies, I imagine, to help you with this process.
Absolutely. So I teach ceremonies in the Book of Ceremonies. There's ceremonies as you start to learn about some of those blocks. I don't feel worthy. I'm afraid to engage in life. I had a terrible relationship with my parents or my partner. And so there are ceremonies that you can perform working with elements of fire, earth, air, water, where you can work in a spiritual way, which brings about a beautiful outcome. There's a lot of rewards to working in a spiritual way where we develop a ceremony with the spirits to release, give up that obstacle, and then to start to call in textures, colors, fragrances, memories into our life that we would like to have be reborn. And what's our passion of what we want to do in the world? And so there's a lot of ceremonies devoted in the Book of Ceremony to releasing and then calling in. And that's not all there is to ceremonial work, because there's a lot around honoring the phases of nature and doing ceremonies to bring good energies into your house and the land where you live. But there's great ceremonies you can do for your personal work of what you need to release and the energies that you wish to call in.
This book that you've written really offers I think, a lot of opportunities for folks to address so many aspects of their lives in this way that's really sacred. And I have a feeling that people will really enjoy it if they take you up on it and they get your book. But I'll put a link to your book in the show notes.
Thank you.
So folks can access it. But I also want to touch base before we run out of time on the other book you released in 2018 called The Hidden Worlds, which is a young adult work of fiction. So I'd love to hear a little bit about what prompted you to write this book and maybe a synopsis of what it's about.
Yeah, well, I actually wrote that book in 2008, but it's been a while rewriting it and getting a publisher. I do a lot of work with kids. I do a lot of healing work for kids, and I teach kids how to journey. And I get letters from kids that I taught how to journey at the age of 7, and they're now in their 20s and 30s. I mean, I've been doing this for a long time. They have their own children now. They have their own lives now, and they still write me letters and tell them the richness that they brought into their lives. Kids deserve to have a strong spiritual foundation, because children are going through even bigger challenges than we are right now, as we're living in a world filled with so much chaos. And spiritual practices give children a sense of stability, a sense of centeredness, and tools to navigate the challenges that come up. And so The Hidden Worlds is a novel where a group of children meet each other in dreams, where power animals come to them and teach them how to get in touch with their own gifts and how to work out their challenges. And then this environmental issue happens in these children's community. And so in real time, in ordinary reality, the spirits help them to uncover that there's a business that's polluting the entire town's water and brings this to the community's attention. And so there's two different stories going through. There's the power of what happens when you meet your own helping spirits and the spiritual lessons that they can share. And at the same time, how they do help us in ordinary situations where there's challenges, like an environmental spill that's not being reported in the area.
So two birds, one stone. You're addressing the environment, and you're also introducing the idea of kids connecting with the dream time and their own helping spirits.
Yeah, it's a beautiful book, and I hope parents and grandparents will... because there's so many parents and grandparents who are practicing shamanism, and this is a way to start to introduce their children and grandchildren to the work.
Wonderful. So I was thinking, as I was checking out your book, that I don't think, has anyone ever written a deliberate shamanic book for young adults? Like, this is very, it's very clearly a shamanic book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, young adults, children aren't interested in reading a nonfiction on how to practice shamanism, you know, and so it's more bringing in stories. And back in a really long time ago in the 90s, I have a good friend who's a brilliant child psychotherapist who also works shamanically with children. And we wrote a book on how to bring ceremonies to children to help them navigate the challenges in school and with their life and bullying, but it was too, there was no publisher who felt that anybody would buy this book. But the time is now to introduce children and young adults. I find that with young adults who crossed a line. They didn't take enough spirit with them, and now they only care about the material world. They don't want to hear about shamanism. They don't want to hear, and they say that, do not talk to me about this. I don't want to hear about it. That's where vision quests and nature experiences, those teens that work with organizations that take them into survival camps or vision quests, where they really get to learn that they have tools for survival, then you can bring them into shamanic journeying and shamanic work. And so I think that the population of kids and young adults who need this material, by sharing the stories, it helps them remember their own spiritual connections, because we don't teach children shamanism. We don't teach ourselves shamanism. We knew it our whole entire lives. We were practicing shamanism. We just forgot. And so the novels, there's so many novels that are being written right now on shamanism for children. And I think it's to help them remember that they remember the spiritual connections that never left them.
So are you feeling hopeful, or are you feeling optimistic about the future given all we're facing right now?
Well, I have to say a little bit of both, because I am an eternal optimist, and I always believe there are possibilities and there are opportunities. But I also feel that people are allowing themselves to stay in a particular trance and are not really attending to some really big issues that not are just happening in ordinary reality, but they're not going deep enough into their spiritual work, because sometimes it feels good to stay a little bit superficial. And so I feel that as I watch people enter into spiritual paths, we have more opportunities for change, but what kind of change, I don't know. And so what I'm sharing with people right now is do your spiritual work, do your ceremonial work, and let go of outcomes. Evolve and change as much inside of you as you can, so that whatever happens, you are in a state of peace and in a state of harmony. And maybe once enough of us get there, something energetically might happen in the greater collective. And so I hold out the opportunity, and I also see the challenges ahead, and I'm not sure if people are going to stand up and meet the challenges ahead. And that's where I'm not sure. I do believe we have the absolute ability to turn around what's happening if we are willing to stand up and meet the challenges.
I guess stay tuned. We'll find out, won't we?
Yes.
Well, some very wise words. I really appreciate you coming on the podcast and chatting with me.
Yeah, Wendy. Thanks for what you're doing. It's great.
Good stuff. One of the things that struck me about Sandra was how passionate and driven she is to be of service. Even after all these years of doing this work, it's really, really admirable. Something to aspire to. Well, as always, thanks for tuning in. Until next time.